The word today is Israel. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. Today we will look at the Old Testament character Jacob when he was an old man who worshiped God. Here to teach us about thankfulness from Jacob's story is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Israel.
I've been giving some thought to the topic of gratitude to God. And as I've been looking through the scriptures, there's one particular situation, one particular image that has stuck in my mind. And I've developed a mental picture of what this image is like. It's that of Jacob, the Old Testament man, leaning on his staff and worshiping God. And it comes from Genesis chapter 47, where it reads in verse 28, Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. When the time drew near for Israel to die, and let me just interject here that Jacob was given the name Israel by God, and we'll get to that in just a minute. When the time drew near for Israel to die, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, If I found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt, but when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried. I will do as you say, he said. Swear to me, he said. Then Joseph swore to him, and Israel worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. I get that image about Joseph being an old man, tottering, maybe a little unstable, and with a bad hip, and he grasps his staff and has to lean on it, and he's thinking back about all that God has done in his life, and he is worshiping and thanking God. Well, Jacob's life certainly is an amazing one, and he had a lot to be thankful for. If we do a quick survey of Jacob's life, we start with the fact that Jacob had a twin brother, Esau. Esau was actually the older son, and so he was the inheritor of the birthright. However, through intrigue and deception, Jacob basically stole the birthright from Esau. And as a result, Esau was so mad that he was ready to kill Jacob. So Jacob fled, and he went and lived with his uncle Laban. Well, it was while he was at his uncle Laban's that Jacob learned to kind of lie and swindle and deceive. And he also fell in love with the woman of his dreams, Rachel. After a long period of time, Jacob married Rachel. He also married the older daughter of Laban, whose name was Leah, and this led to all kinds of intrigue, but we have to stick with our story here in the story of Jacob's life. Jacob eventually did reunite with his brother Esau, and just prior to this reunion, Jacob was pretty nervous and upset, and that night before the reunion, God came in the form of an angel and wrestled with Jacob. Literally, physically, had a wrestling match with him. Such an unusual event. And Jacob must have been a pretty good wrestler because he was kind of winning and God was letting him until this angelic figure touches Jacob's leg and puts it out of joint. And the next day, as he walks off, given the new name, Israel, which this angelic figure had given to Jacob, your name will be Israel, which means the one who has struggled with God, the one who fights with God, in a sense, wrestling with God. And as he walks off the next day, the text mentions that Jacob had a limp as he was walking along from where the angel had touched him. This is such an image, such a picture, that I can imagine that Jacob might have had a long-term disability or a little bit of a hitch in his step the rest of his life. We're not told that, but I certainly can imagine that God might have given it to him as a reminder of his encounter with the Lord. Well, as the story continues, Jacob ended up having 12 sons. The one he really loved dearly was Joseph. And Joseph was seen as kind of a papa's boy and very spoiled, and so the other brothers hated him. And they actually hated him to the point that they ended up not killing him, but selling him off to some Ishmaelite traders. And so Joseph became a slave in Egypt eventually. And the story was told to Jacob, his father, that Joseph was dead, that he was killed. Well, this brought grief second only to the grief of Jacob's wife, Rachel, having died while giving birth to the youngest son, Benjamin. So two times tragedy had struck in Jacob's life. One, the loss of his beloved wife, Rachel, and second, the loss of his favorite son, Joseph. Well, the beauty of it all is that God restored the family. And in the end, Joseph had risen to prominence in Egypt, and God had blessed him by becoming second in command of the entire country. So that when a famine took place, Joseph's brothers actually had to come to Egypt and beg from their own brother, whom they didn't recognize, to get grain and to purchase supplies so they would not starve. Well, at that point, Joseph reveals himself and forgives his brothers. As incredible as it is, he actually forgave them all of that mistreatment and misunderstanding of so many years. And then we get to Genesis chapter 47, where I just read a few moments ago, that the family is reunited, and the greatest joy of Jacob's life is that his son, whom he thought was dead, was actually alive, and that God has been blessing him all these years. So now you can just imagine this image in your mind of Jacob, this old man who is close to death. And he leans on his staff and he just shakes his head, maybe his gray beard and gray hair, and just can't believe what God has all done through all these years in keeping his family and in restoring his family. What an amazing good God he had. And so he was going to praise the Lord for all these things. Well, let's just stop for a second and think about our own lives and about a few principles or a few facts. Do you have pain in life? I'll bet you do. I'll bet there's been major heartbreak in your life. I'm sure there might have been a loss of a dear loved one that's just been kind of crushing your spirit. Do you have family stress or fractures? Have there been people that don't want to get along or people that almost hate each other's guts and you just give anything if they'd only forgive each other and try to get along? God can resolve these things. This is what's incredible, is that the Lord has the ability to turn things in ways that we never dreamed. Imagine Jacob as he stands there, and he sees that his son, whom he thought was dead all these years, is really alive. That he's literally received him back from the dead, as it were. And then he sees that his family has been reunited, and the stress and the fractures have been healed and have been cemented. The most amazing part about this is the incredible ability of Joseph to forgive his brothers. And in that way, Joseph is very much like Jesus. In fact, of all of the characters of the Old Testament, the one who comes closest to Jesus is Joseph. His life is pretty much free from major sin and error. His story is very pristine, very clean. He's a good man. And then his ability to forgive the worst that people did to him is truly phenomenal. He must have been very, very close to the Lord God to be able to show that kind of forgiveness. And he's an excellent example for each one of us of what it means to be a godly person. I'd like for you to look back over your life and to give thankfulness to God for everything that he's doing for you. Think about the bad times. A lot of times we don't want to think about the bad times. They hurt. They're painful. But it's at those times that God used those events in your life to push you closer to Him. It's when we hurt and when we're in pain that we instinctively reach out toward God and want His forgiveness and want His healing. And sometimes He will use pain in order to make us humble ourselves and turn to Him. And it's at those times also that, just like a diamond has to be attacked and struck very aggressively, God shapes us and He changes our personality by making us go through these things. God also oversees and guides us every step of the way. Psalm 23 talks about God as our shepherd who leads us. And it also discusses the difficult times, like leading us through the valley of the shadow of death or the valley of great darkness. No one ever wants to go that way. We want easy traveling, but God sometimes knows that we have to be led through it. But He's never abandoned us. He's given us our good shepherd, Jesus, the one who said, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." And as you think about your life, maybe imagine yourself years down the road. If you're not already elderly, think of yourself as an older person leaning on your walker. And you're thinking about the fact that God has not been unduly harsh and unloving. He's given you a tremendous amount of blessing and times of joy. He's forgiven your sins. He's given you Jesus, your Savior. Maybe you have seen comfort after the loss of a loved one. Maybe you have seen restoration in your family. But nevertheless, God's been good. He's forgiven you your sins. And the day may come when your family gets restored. Think of yourself. Imagine it in your mind. You're an older person. You lean on your walker and you glorify God and you thank God for all the different times in your life. He's cared for you, He's kept you, He's forgiven you your sins, and now as you think of the end of your life drawing near, you know there will not be condemnation. God will be loving in the day of judgment, and you will have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. The Lord has indeed been very, very good to you in your life.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.